Pelicans win 116-106 over the Clippers. Before we get in the show, like, comment, and subscribe. Presented to you by the Birdsall Law from the official injury lawyers of Pro Pels Talk. Make sure you hit that like button. Let's talk about it.
First took away. That's the best. Get your money's worth.
Whole team here tonight. Chris Connor, Jarrett, Chaz, and Lito. Chris, let's start with you right off the bat. Herb Jones and Dyson Daniels close out the Clippers tonight. What did you think of that stretch where Herb Jones hits 2 3-pointers, a layup, Brandon Ingram jumper, a Herb Jones assist, and then Dyson Daniels on the other side stealing a block? Those two, I thought, closed them out tonight.
Oh, you might be muted, Chris.
My bad. I think in regards to Herb, it was one of the benefits or one of the blessings in disguise of him leaving and pretty much not playing a good majority of the third quarter with four fouls. He had fresh legs, so he was in attack mode right away. And it just so happens when he gets back in the game, the Clippers are in the bonus. So they call a timeout, and literally on cue, Hawkins is back in the game. And they go from, you know, it looked like the Clippers started to play some kind of modified zone. They were trying to pretty much cover as many bases as they could, knowing that they were in the bonus so early and couldn't be as aggressive defensively. I saw them try to, I mean, and just what happened, they over-rotated, they overcompensated, and they were going to live with a wing three or a corner three from somebody. And it wasn't going to be Jordan Hawkins, and it happened to be Herb Jones, and he made him pay. And he's been doing that more and more this year. He was once again incredible. Him and Dyson together. Shout out to Five again, man. The Herb and Spice show was right. I mean, it was right on time, man. They give this team together. They give this team different ingredients, a different touch that I think is very difficult, specifically when you play teams like the Clippers that have this amount of perimeter offensive players.
Yeah. Jarrett, a couple podcasts ago, this is a quote from you. I think this dude, Herb Jones, is the leader of the team. The energy significantly changes when Herb Jones plays basketball. You couldn't be more on point with that.
Hey, man, I'd be right, bro. I don't even care what y'all say. I'd just be right. And Herb Jones makes that job really easy. I remember when Josh Hart got traded, and I was like, man, we lost a high IQ basketball player. I don't know how you just replace that. Yeah. I think you got a higher IQ guy in Herb Jones, bro. And you can just see the ascension that he's having, right? And I hate the fact that, you know, people try to compare, you know, Dyson to Herb or like don't stop doing that. That's like, terrible. Just stop doing that. One, Herb needs Dyson to be, you know, Herb Joe, like to be even better, right? Like, having somebody else that willing to sacrifice, like, oh, you can go guard Paul George and make his life hell, or Kawhi Leonard to, you know, make his life more difficult so I can go play free safety and do things that, you know, nobody else needs to do. Like, I could be your help because you're going to need it because I didn't have that help. I could be the guy that you did that I didn't have. So that's really what it is. Like, Herb is that guy for this team. I think he is the glue. He is the straw that makes the drink go.
Stir the drink.
Yeah, right? whatever that means. You know, although you have Zion, although you have Brandon, like, you still need that guy to do what he does to win basketball games.
Yeah. Lito, I mean, obviously we're talking a lot about her.
Okay. Justin, before you ask me a question, can you take that terrible tweet down? Can you take that down?
What? Oh, I don't know. I don't know who put it up. Someone put it up. I didn't put that one up. All right, I'll get something. Because
that's terrible.
Okay.
Hey, man, stop.
It's okay. Lito, go ahead about Herb and Dyson.
Hey, man, I'm with Five on the leadership. I think Herb is the linchpin to the whole thing. Like, you saw when he missed the games, there was a different style of basketball being played. It was kind of pathetic. They had no heart. And then Herb came back, and it's Herb came back, and it seemed like everybody just remembered how to play basketball. Herb said something important tonight in his interview with Jen Hill. He was saying that, you know, they pick his brain and they ask him questions about what he sees on the floor. And he said from that point on, like, that's my brother. I can hold him accountable. You're playing for not just yourself, but for a teammate. And I thought him saying that was very compelling. Just because you've seen the BI Zion meeting, the team meeting, ever since that happened, it's like they've been holding each other accountable, the whole entire team. But those two guys specifically, and like if you look at the shot attempts tonight, it's crazy. They literally played off each other. Like it was perfect. But Herb and Dyson, bro, shout out to Chris and Five Dyson. That shit is it's like having two all pro cornerbacks. You don't have to worry about all pro cornerback and a safety, or you know what I'm saying, or a linebacker. It's like they do different things, like separate but apart. It's crazy. Like they just hell for the opposing team.
Yeah, go ahead, Chaz.
We asked him about Herb
and Dice.
Oh, they played. I mean, Herb played well. I thought Dyson was like cool, but Herb, I'm kind of just used to Herb having these performances. I thought his fourth quarter was especially good. When Herb hit them two threes in the fourth quarter, I knew it. The Clippers, it was just y'all. It's time to go home, y'all. Y'all destined to lose. Something like this happens, it's like y'all destined to lose. Like, but shout out to Herb, man. Herb been on a tear lately. I thought Dyson did his thing every night. The Dyson stat sheet is not going to ever be like the most impressive thing. That's not the type of player he is. But his
multiple categories, categories. He does a really good job with that. He had six rebounds and five assists.
Yeah, he's a quality. I guess you would call him a glue guy at this stage in his career. And that's really what you want him to do, to be that great wing defender, guard defender, and work in I was about to say collusion, but work as a consortium with Herb and JV and those guys.
Chris,
Justin, before you say this, I'm sorry, but shout out to Corey, dog. Cause like, I've been seeing this shit, dog. We answered a question. Somebody asked us if we would trade.
We'll get to it, Chris. I didn't address that. Chris, Jordan Hawkins. I texted this to five. I said, did you just see what Jordan did? He misses the three pointer. First shot of the night, misses the three pointer. It goes out of bounds. We get the rebound. The team rebound. The next set is for Jordan Hawkins, comes off it, double screen, baseline jumper, hits it. Like, nothing phases him. As Lito says, delusional. Like, what do you see from him? Because he just keeps getting better and better, in my opinion.
I mean, he, like he said in his own words, like, he's supposed to be here. Like, he's supposed to, like, you know how players or, you know, athletes a lot of times, you know, they say, like, man, I wasn't supposed to do this. You know, I wasn't supposed to make it here. I wasn't supposed to, like, Jordan feels like, no, like, I was supposed to make it here. I was supposed to do this. Like, this is what I was made to do. So, you know, I think that's just every night is just, it's just another example of that. And even today, like, whatever happened before, we talk about defensive backs, but he has that kind of mentality to where, if the last shot, whether the last shot is missed or is made, he's making adjustments to make the next one go in. And that's just it. He knows his role. And sometimes he'll play above it and nobody's going to tell him that he's wrong because they understand his presence.
Oh, you cut out off. There.
Five. He might be cut off right now. Five. We'll just go right to you. So with Jordan Hawkins, the one thing I didn't really like tonight, and I'll let you talk about the positive, but he starts off really hot and then just gets yanked out of the game at 6.5 left in the second quarter, and then doesn't get back until like probably the 6-minute mark in the third quarter. You know, when a guy's got it going like that, you kind of just ride the hot hand, right? And then I think Lito and Chris talks about it too. Like, he's got Najee just didn't have it tonight. Would you want to see more Hawkins minutes over the Najee minutes?
I think this is the good problems that I was referring to, right? Like, this is what he, Willie Green, Coach Willie Green, will have to go through, right? Finally, he gets a full, somewhat of a healthy roster. Mm-hmm. now he has to make those really tough decisions based on, I mean, Justin, you talked about this a couple years ago, like about feel, right? Feel as a coach, understanding like who has it going, what lineups kind of work. And luckily you get to learn through a win rather than a loss. Like hopefully those decisions you made didn't cost you an L. And I don't think Najee played like ultra terribly. Like I think there was moments where he could have been better, but this is what you see. Like this is the balance that you're going to have to play. Would I've liked to see Hog more? Of course, right? Another guy I was right on. You know, pause. You know, just another guy that I said, like, hey, this guy looks like he can hoop. Like I think he's gonna be all right in the NBA. Yeah, summer league was shits. We know, but the shots are there. He just didn't make them. I expect him to have some kind of rookie wall to happen, and people are gonna be like, ah, see that kid couldn't play. Yeah, kind of expect that. But this is also allows Willie Green to, you know, make these decisions now because he's going to have to make even tougher decisions in like 2 to 3 weeks. So you might as well try to figure it out. Get guys, like you know, give guys a chance to fail. Najee just got back off injury. All right, give him a chance to fail or succeed at this point. Like you gave Jordan Hawkins a super long leash, right? Like he'll get minutes, but you need to see something out of the other guys. Maybe they solidify themselves.
Lito, go ahead.
What you want me to do?
Justin, you're not even asking a question, bro. He's just what
you want me to do? Well, I mean, because look, Five, if I don't ask Lito the question, like, hold up, man, I want to answer the original question.
Let Lito say, I got a question before.
Well, hold up, one more thing.
That's crazy.
I wanted to ask this. How about this?
There you go.
As you know, I think having a point guard probably would have been, let's just talk down the stretch, right? The last couple minutes of the game where you had somewhat of a 10-point lead and silly turnovers or this, that, like having a point guard out there would help this team tremendously. Like, how do you get solid minutes out of guys? Because that's why Jose was closing games, right? Because he was the only existential ball handler out there. Brandon ain't that. I don't know. I don't want to talk about it. Brandon isn't that. Zion necessarily isn't that. You kind of want those guys to be fed. Yo, what are y'all? I'm trying to convince
you. No, don't worry about it. All
right, cool. So my question to you guys, right? Who is that for this team? How does Willie kind of figure that out, like moving forward before CJ gets back? Anybody?
Wait, you have to repeat that.
I'm
again?
Sorry, Fire. They had a dude in the comments who was wilding.
Oh, all right.
I didn't see it.
Matthew Welch has been banned. I don't know who that dude is. My question is, how do the Pelicans figure out their like in the game strategy? From a point guard standpoint, because it seems like that's the position that's given them a lot of trouble.
I don't like the set to begin with. There's like 1-4 high set. I guess y'all want to call it horns. Like, I don't really necessarily like that to begin with. Like, you're always like kind of like forcing into the junction and they know where it's coming from. I don't know. I'd rather see. The thing is, as long as Zion or Brandon have the ball, I'm fine. I really am. I don't think that's a problem. I think we're more worried about the Dyson Daniels turnovers, I guess, right, Five, like late in the game. Yeah. Like, I'd rather just have Zion or Brandon bring it up. Like, that's what I would do.
But that seems to give you trouble too, right? My fault.
Nah, go ahead.
No. I just saying, I think that gives you trouble too, right? Having the ball in their hands when they could turn the ball over. Like, you saw Brandon try to, like, tap it back to, I think it was, like, Jose, and it was, like, an easy, like, nobody seems to. Go ahead.
No. I was just gonna say, what about maybe giving Herb a chance at trying?
Yeah, to, you know? Oh, that's a good idea, man. That's a really good point.
It's an option because you gotta when you have a like the style of players that Brandon and Zion you know are, and then you throw CJ back into the equation. That's another guy that we're not talking about here. You are gonna like. You can't really have a prototypical point guard on the floor. I mean, I don't think it's really going to exist. So you have to sacrifice something, and more than likely, it's going to be playing within the players that have point guard ability. They may not be point guards, but they have some point guard like characteristics. Maybe this game is Dyson, next game is Herb, the game after that is CJ. But I mean, I would say between the players we expect to play, it should probably be between, you know, CJ and Herb in regards to setting up an organization. You just gotta, you know, you just gotta live with that as long as the ball ends up in 14 or, you know, or number one's hands.
Yo, it's so funny that the conversation took this direction, because I noticed something. I kind of noticed it last game tonight. It was like painfully obvious to me. I don't think Brandon and Zion are playing together. I think what the staff did, which I like that. Hey, it's working. It ain't always working. It's working for now. It's Brandon's team and then it's Zion's team. Or, you know, it alternates from game to game, quarter to quarter, right? Now, I think it's working. And for now, I'm not, you know, a good team that shoots decently from three, it's probably going to thwart it at some point because you're still trading twos for threes. I thought the thing I liked the most from Brandon's game tonight, right, is how he started the game. It was Brandon's team. But in the fourth quarter, they were locking in on defense. They were sending some doubles at him, and he didn't have the best shooting in the fourth quarter. But I like that he accepted the fact that it's not going to be me tonight, and he took the back seat. Because that's really all you asking for. Shoot the threes. Went, I think, 2 for 5 tonight. Shoot the threes. Get to the line, play with some pace, and know when to defer. But before you make your point, just I wanted to say it all does kind of circle back to you still need a point guard, or you still need someone, the quote-unquote low usage ball handling guy.
Yeah.
Herb makes the most sense, but you run into a Clippers problem. The Clippers problem right now is that they got too much talent. Too much talent, and Harden is really the problem. Russell was awful tonight, but Harden's he the new guy that's fucking everything up.
Yep. I feel bad for Westbrook, man. I really do. I feel he don't deserve that. There's a couple points I want to make, Chaz. Brandon, I think there was a stretch there when Zion was coming to check in, and Brandon went on like that 45 seconds a minute like run where he took a bad mid range, might turn it over, and then took another bad shot. But I did notice that when Zion came in, he just gave the ball to Zion, space back out, and let Zion do his thing. And that has been back-to-back games of seeing that. With the Herb Jones thing, do y'all think because now it's interesting, do y'all think Herb Jones could possibly run the closing lineup with a healthy CJ and Trey when they come back?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You do. But what I'm saying is that do y'all think Herb's going to be on the court closing the game? Y'all do?
I think
so. I don't know how you take Herb off the court.
Yeah, I think absolutely. Absolutely.
No, that's why I'm
– yeah.
So you would go –
they do it for years.
You go Herb, CJ, Herb, CJ, Zion, Brandon, and Trey.
Yeah. I mean, especially with Trey knocking down – I mean, especially with Herb knocking down the three, right? It allows you to do everything you kind of want to do, right? Like, he's low usage – and once he gives the ball up, you still have to account for him, especially if he's putting the ball on the floor and getting to the rack as well. There's so many options when you have Herb, Trey, like shooters plus movement plus Zion. And like tonight, look, you got a game winner with Zion, right? Where he shoots a fucking mid-range, he gets the fucking offensive rebound and lays it back up. Crazy. Like that's not gonna work every night. Like you just got a good player making a great play. That's not going to happen. Like, what are the real good shots that are going to happen, right? Of course, I want Zion to shoot the fucking mid-range. That needs to happen. But what's going to happen when you bring CJ in and you bring Trey? That's why I say start with Herb now. Like, give the ball to Herb now. Let him work through those things because you don't want it to be, you know, late February or post All-Star break. And then, all right, now we're going to give the ball to Herb and let him run the offense. Like, try that now. Go through those growing pains now. That way he'll understand it.
Man, that's a really good point. Go ahead, Lito. I'm sorry.
No. I was just wanted to say, like, with a couple things. I agree with everything Five just said. And I want to give Chaz pointed out the Brandon Zion situational minutes. Yo, like, and he eloquated it. It was perfect. Like that's exactly how they plan. But in that though, technically you still playing together. You know what I'm saying? Because you got you still gotta agree to do that shit. You know what I'm saying? Because he could be like, "Fuck it, like, nah,
yeah,
like,
I don't want to do it at all."
But they planned it off. They planned it off pretty good because, like you said, Brandon, he starts the game, he gets his, and then like Zion just kind of like filters throughout the rest of the game. And Justin, you text me. It's so funny. You was like, Brandon just giving the ball to Zion.
Yeah,
and like that's exactly what started happening.
Yeah. It's excellent compromise in the short term, for real.
But like that's like being a good, like when Brandon had it going in the first quarter, which I want to talk about. He off to a really quick start, like seven, I think it was 6 of 8 for like 16 points. Like Zion was giving it up to Brandon, huh?
That's crazy.
That's pretty crazy. You know,
I was like, yeah. I ain't even say nothing, Justin.
Yeah, nah, Chris got me.
But that's another thing. Like
I didn't do anything. No, for real. Like back to that. Brandon got off to a really good start there in the first.
But that goes back to Zion a couple games ago when Brandon was knocking down threes, right? He was like, "I'm just looking for 14." So it's a give and a take. It's crazy, right? Like you get a. Like you gotta be able to do, that, right? Like a guy has it going, yo, share the rock, boom. If I got it going, or if your shot not falling, just let me rock. You know, just let me do what I gotta do, and then we both go. As long as we win, right? That should be the goal. As long as we win, that's what Zion said. We got the same mentality. Like the goal is to win. So
yeah. Before we get to the next segment, make sure you hit that like button. Chris, let's talk a little bit about Larry Nance tonight. No, all seriousness, though. Larry Nance didn't have a big block tonight. Late at the, it was like a minute and a half left. He had a great dunk at the end of the game.
I've just seen people
on the timeline saying that they want to see Cody Zeller get some minutes over Larry Nance. You roll your eyes. Come on. Because
you one of them people.
Yeah, I am. I mean, I am.
You one of them people. You want a slow rotating center who, I mean, sure, lumbering hey, guy who can grab a few rebounds. Great. That doesn't have an existing hairline. Like, that's what you want, bro. Like, I'm cool with that. But it's like, who led the team in blocks today?
How many do you have? Two?
Three.
Yeah, three.
Like, dang. I mean, we... So here's one thing I appreciate about this show. I appreciate that I think everybody here sees something or has a perspective that no one else has thought about. Right? So we watch games and we all see something at some point. I'm like, damn, I ain't noticed that. All right, that's dope. And here's my thing with Larry. Okay, it's not I get it. It's not always. Like when you're viewing it, it does not always look pretty. And he's still working himself back and he's undersized. I get it. And he misses layups around the basket and he's not ducking anymore. Like it's whole. He's clearly athletically right now regressing or is hurt one way or another. But there are things off ball, specifically what this team needs, as long as number one is out there, off ball that he does that no other person can do at the five but Herb Jones. I'm talking about when the Clippers decide to run an overload set and have PJ Tucker on the opposite side of the court for the corner three, and Larry decides he's out there pretty much in traffic playing between an angle pick and roll or trying to figure out if he's going to shade over to the corner three. He makes the right play. We're talking about somebody takes a charge, probably the best in drop coverage in regards to contesting. Like, I mean, I think you get variety with Larry. Now, if you tell me that you want a better overall option, you want an upgrade of that guy, sure. But if you're telling me the Pelicans are a tool chest, Larry's the only tool that I have that I can use in this equation against it. Like, did you watch how they play pick and roll? You mean to tell me Cody Zeller was going to make it better? Are you retro pals now?
Hey.
Like, I mean, are you telling me he was going to play pick and roll better than the way Larry did tonight?
No. I'm not saying not play Larry, but 20 minutes, I thought Cody could have gotten about six of those tonight.
What's he doing 6 minutes?
Chris, come on. Look, I know you make fun of him in the whole receding hairline thing. He's a good basketball player. Like, he helps the team win. Yes, he's a good basketball player. Chris, I'm shocked. Like, why? What don't you like about him?
He's solid.
Like,
what don't you,
He's a good basketball player, solid, good basketball player, right?
Good and solid ain't the same to me.
Okay. I mean, look, you make great points. No. Like, you make great points. Chaz, you want to
Did you not like the Larry Nass minutes?
No, he had some good minutes. I gave him props. I told about the block. I told he had a couple blocks. Like, he did a good job.
It's the intelligence in the rebounding, right?
But,
you want to say intelligence
and like not think Cody Zeller, like Cody Zeller is probably one of our highest IQ players on the team.
You want a larger guy out there?
Chaz, you can go ahead.
I'm a supporter of both guys. Both are leaders on the team and in the locker room. Of course, there's no Louisiana purchase without Cody Zeller. And with Larry, look, man, to me it boils down to politics. Cody signed a contract knowing that he's not going to be playing most nights unless Griff lied to him too, which I don't put that past Griff. I think Larry has to play as long as he's able to walk. And it's not because he's the best option, in my opinion. Some nights he will be. Like with the Clippers, they went small. I think you could have got away with Cody just because the Clippers are so slow. But I'm not mad at Larry playing. Just because you got to reward guys. Like, you know what I'm saying? You got to throw them a bone. I think this was Larry's reward for being one of the voices in that locker room that kind of got these dudes, at least, even if they duct taped the train together, got the train back on the tracks. And you got to reward those people, because the last thing you want is a person like that who is I don't know Larry like that, so I don't know where his self-awareness is. But even if everyone else thinks he's like, he fricasseed, it's over. In his mind, he might feel like, nah, I got a lot left in the tank. Like, you know what I'm saying? I can still go out there and contribute. So as long as he feels like that, you gotta reward him. Because if he turns on you, you know what I'm saying? You done lost it all. Because he's one of the guys who, because CJ not playing. And it's one thing for a motherfucker who, like, he could be the leader, but you got to be on the floor. You still have to be a person who's on the floor. Nobody gonna listen to you. So with Larry being out there, at least he's on the floor. People are listening to him. So you gotta reward him. Results be damned. Thank you for your service, Cody.
Hey, before we get to Five's, thoughts, please make sure you hit that like button. Go ahead.
Nah, I think this is a Larry Nance game, right? Like, this seemed like a game Larry Nance could have a positive impact on. I think, like Chad said, the Clippers are kind of slow-footed now, but athletically, it could have been tragic for Cody. And to be honest, like, the money is always a thing. You always got to go back to the money. A guy, Larry making what, 10 mil a year now? Yeah. Right? Like, hey, yo, he worked himself back. He gonna get minutes. Like, it's not a – and I asked Willie this, the last game, and I thought, the fact that Cody was playing well and JRE had that, like, show flashes, this allowed Larry some time to kind of work through that, right? Like, slow work through, like, his injuries rather than having to rush back because the team wasn't playing well or something like that. Like, this allowed them time. But, I mean, Willie was like, nah, he on the court. So once you're like saying that, he's gonna play, and I think his voice has kind of gotten some kind of credence, right? Like, he's set up meetings and guys are listening to, are just getting guys in the same room. He may have not said anything, but just putting people in the positions, almost like Jay Prince, like just putting people in the same room, like, y'all gotta hash this out and bust a move. I think that's. I ain't comparing Larry to Jay Prince, but I guess he is.
No, I hate that fucking point so much.
But it makes sense, though. It really makes a lot of sense when you think about the other two that he had to put in the same room to hash things out. Yeah,
right.
Kind of does.
Spur, I want to bring up this comment here. Lito, I'll start with you. That second/fourth lineup was horrible. What did you think of some of
that's too much. That's too much math.
That's a lot of math. What did you like or not like about the rotations tonight?
I mean, I didn't like the Jordan Hawkins minutes at all. I didn't really understand it.
Didn't get more minutes.
I didn't well, the use of the minutes, like when you got it going and you take me out of the game, and then I don't see it again until what, late second?
No, he probably sat out for literally like real time, like 35, 40 minutes. Cause he got subbed out 6.5. You go 6.5 there, then you have halftime, and then he didn't get back into like 6 minutes left in the third.
That's horrendous. You can't do that, bro. Like the best shooter on the floor right now, on the team right now. You can't do that. I really didn't understand it, especially for a guy in Najee who didn't have it going at all tonight. And listen, to Favre's point, right? You talk about situational basketball. You talk about guys who deserve things, right? Well, how this kid been playing? He deserve minutes. He not for the pedigree of what he came in as an NCAA champion. I'm talking about like a guy who actually been putting in the work, bro. That fucking midi he hit off the out of bounds, like that shit right there told me how the whole night was gonna go. From that point, I knew everything that was gonna happen, and Willie sabotaged my dog having a beautiful night because I don't know why.
Five. I tried to explain a little bit of it in halftime, but remember the conversation we had when I was trying to tell you that Willie tried to get a game away in the fourth quarter, and you gave me a little bit of perspective that I kind of agree with in regards to being in this situation and maybe failing, right? Him needing to fail in this way in regards to experimenting with this new team and the next version of the team that's going to show up.
Yeah, it's like you need to fail in a positive direction, right? You have to allow guys to fail. You have to allow Willie to fail and win because we haven't seen it. It's difficult to grade him when he doesn't have the players, they're not healthy, and he's trying to figure it all out on the run. Now it's like, okay, everybody's healthy. Well, somewhat. Let's say 75 to 80% of the team is healthy of your really good players. And now I actually have to coach. Like, I have to coach these guys on a consistent basis. So he's not going to make the right decisions, guys. Like, get that out your head. He's not going to make all the right decisions. You have to allow this guy at this juncture with people that actually know how to coach, you know, that are supporting him. So allow that guy time to finally, now he's in an environment that he can actually get better at. How can you expect him to get better when the team wasn't healthy, the guys weren't playing, he didn't have the adequate coaching staff to support him at his first time coaching, and then all the other stuff that we know about this team? Like, at no point did he have that opportunity. Now he does. Now they're moving in the right direction. Now the two star players are, you know, moving towards, you know, a common goal. Now we can grade him, but also give him, trying to think of the word, that sort of due diligence to do, right? Like, he has to learn at his own pace, and hopefully we can see wins, but also still learning room for Willie Green to grow.
Chris, do you think Hawk can score 40 this year? 40 would be crazy.
So there's maybe. I don't think he's gonna do it with this current group, and then other guys coming back from CJ to Trey to fuck Matt Ryan at this point. Like, I don't think he can do it, you know, in that kind of situation. But I do think, you know, if I can like manipulate this a little bit, like maybe late in the year, either for whatever reason, for better or worse, the season they're not playing for anything in the regular season, and he has an opportunity at that point to shoot as many shots as he wants, then he can score 40 there,
but not 40 in his current role.
Oh, hell no,
hell no, he don't get enough shots.
It's like he has a skill level to do it, yes, but will he have the opportunity to do it? No.
Nah. He was supposed to, if he was going to hit 40, it had to be the game where he dropped 30. It had to be one of those games where Zion was out, where Brandon, has Brandon and Zion been out yet? Yeah, right? Detroit.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Detroit.
Yeah, something like that.
They had like 135 that night, right?
They got too many people to work back in the spot here.
Yeah. Five, I got a question for you. You weren't on the last stream, and we talked about this for a while. I want to hear your perspective on it. So we talked about Matt Ryan, and he's on the two-way, right? And like, we're going to have to make a decision on holding him or cutting him. Like, and Lito literally responded, you don't cut 47% three-point percent shooting. And I'm just now where like, okay, so CJ and Trey are starting to come back. Matt Ryan will be back in like a week and a half. You're about to have a full roster. So like, we're talking about minutes being cut. Like, do you see anybody's minutes just being completely taken away? Because I've asked this question to a couple people, and some people are like, Jordan Hawkins. I'm like, you what? I'm like, Jordan Hawkins needs more minutes. So like, whose minutes would you be taking away?
I don't know if there's like a particular person that's going to have like lesser minutes, right? I just think everybody's going to get cut, almost like on some government type shit, right? Where they just start cutting school and the police and, well, they don't cut the police, my bad. You know, they don't do that. Just all the, you know, things that we actually need, they'll just start cutting from there. I don't know who you cut from. Maybe, yeah, I don't know. But again, that's not our problem to think about, right? That's not my, like, hell, you know, nah, they'll worry about that. And then we'll critique them based on what they do and don't do, right? But I think that's the difficult part about this. But again, this is, Willie Green has never been in this position to do something like this. He's never been in a position to have a full roster and be like, hey, you know what? I wanted to say this. Pels fans, y'all are on this. You know what? Good job. You all were right. Everybody, get a round of applause to yourself. You were right. This team should have been better than what they were, you know, what they were showing for years. And we're only seeing a glimpse of it. These motherfuckers have been giving us nothing compared to what they're showing now. So I want you, every time you tweet, yeah, tell yourself you were right, because these bitches wasn't giving you shit.
Nothing. Bare minimum. Not even that. That was incredible.
Yo, that was incredible. Chaz, can you I'm loser.
I'm tired of being buttoned up, man. Nah, fuck
Chaz. Hey guys, we'll get your perspective on this. When CJ gets back, should the Pels keep the defensive backcourt in the starting unit? The number one backcourt in the league right now is White and Drew with the Celtics.
I do think Drew is an excellent individual defender, but I think the Celtics as a team, even when they went to the finals, it was like the number one defense versus the number two defense. I just think he just found himself in another great situation, but credit to Drew as well. Yeah, you have to put CJ back. I think much like tonight, look, man, James Harden had like 8 points. Kawhi stunk up the joint. So if you're the Pelicans, you have situations where Dice is not really giving you a lot of offense. Herb's not hitting those threes. JV gets neutralized a bit. You're going to have to find that offense from somewhere else. And again, since, in my opinion, I think they are playing like it's two teams on the floor with Zion and with Brandon, I think you make those teams as good as possible, those two individual teams. And when you add CJ and Trey, I have my short list of people who I wouldn't play no more, but it's like who would be extremely situational. But it's like, I don't know, man. I think you're going to run into a Clipper situation kind of soon. And I just wonder how you navigate that. To me, the remedy is Trey, Herb, and Zion rebound. Well, everybody rebound better. If Trey, Herb, and Zion and just the wings and everybody rebound better, then you really don't have a reason at all to play certain guys. And that's where it kind of like, because in that event, Trey probably becomes your small ball five or whatever. Then it's like, it's a whole different thing going on. So, but no, I would definitely add CJ back into the starting lineup. I think anything else would be kind of disrespectful.
Lito, do you think Zion plays tomorrow? They lose an hour. No, it's a serious question. I'm not trying to, like, this is a legit question. He's not played one back-to-back, and I would think that they played in L.A. I can't imagine them losing an hour, them flying to Utah, and him playing tomorrow. That's just my opinion. Do you think he plays?
Wait. I'm sorry, Lito, before you answer, can I say something real quick, please?
Go ahead.
Because somebody made a great point. You see this? I'm going to say this. And he's right. And you know what? I'm going to give you some credit. A lot of people think my problem is with Brandon. And it really isn't. I think Brandon's a really okay, solid, to good player, right? My problem is y'all. I hate y'all, right? Brandon's cool. Y'all don't know how bad y'all make it for Brandon. Because y'all make me go find all this data to let you know how wrong you are, right? So blame yourselves. Blame yourselves. When you say silly shit like this, just blame. And I do think Brandon plays solid defense. But I'm just saying, in general, we not your fathers. We not your fathers. Like, what you want?
Leo,
I need that clip.
Leo, does Zion play tomorrow?
Yeah, Justin, he's gonna play.
Do you expect him to play?
My personal expectations, or like my expectations of how the situation is going.
Your personal expectations. Do you expect him to play tomorrow?
I don't expect him to miss games because of whatever reason. I don't understand. I don't understand rest.
There's no way in hell. The era that we're in, all of the different things that are now excuses / reasons for why players don't play. What we've already seen in regards to it's not 3 games and 4 nights, but what we've seen. It is 3 games and 4 nights, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, so we've already seen that, and look. Like, they, in regards to this week, their accomplishment was winning this game.
Yeah.
Man, don't get it twisted, y'all.
That's true.
This is about the money. This is about advancing. This is all about the damn money. This is about winning this game and advancing. Zion said all the right things. Like, well, he brought up the money too, but he said all the right things about we ain't won anything. We got a chance. This advancing in this in-season tournament to the elimination round was what this week was about. They could have lost both them Sacramento games and nobody would have cared. It was about today, and they got it done. Tomorrow, I wouldn't play anybody.
That's a great point. You take Brandon out.
You get all the Cody Zeller minutes you want out there on the floor. Cody Zeller can play 45 minutes. Hold on,
Chris. So you think we should punt tomorrow?
Yeah, fuck it. Why?
Why? Why? Why?
Huh? I mean, I would like to win the game, but you accomplished what you were supposed to accomplish.
What? Yeah. Winning a basketball game?
Nah, this is about the NCAA tournament.
This is the truth of what this style of NBA is. This is what people do. So they're trying.
It's not what people. Hold up, time out. What people do? Who does this? Who does this? Who does this?
Kevin Durant just said today.
Kevin Durant, two-time one of the best players in the league, two-time world champion. Look,
Justin, if I do some research, I'm going to find you some Miami. Miami's done
it. Butler and Bam, who've been in two finals in the last, 4 years?
Okay, you're basing this.
I'm just saying these guys have won. You gave me two examples. They've all won.
Okay, and if Zion goes out there, I'm not defending it. I'm with you, Grandpa. I'm with you 100%. I'd like to see them play tomorrow, but I live in today. And I live in today's NBA. This is what it is. Zion, I'm lucky to get 30 Lito, games out of Zion.
This one's for Lito right there.
Brian got to play back-to-backs. And look, they're playing Utah. Utah's terrible. That's probably what they're going to be telling each other. It's what it is.
Okay. What do you think, Five? What are your thoughts on that?
For
expectations history. To play a back-to-back from Zion.
No, I'm saying, like, as recent history tells us, he's probably not going to play. All right, cool. Like, do I would like to see Zion Williamson play? Of course. The likelihood of that happening, probably not going to happen. Okay. My only rebuttal would be, if he doesn't play, what happens? Like, is there any kind of like workout that happens for Zion to, you know, mitigate those, that time off, right? If you're going to get a game off, cool. Are you like doing other work? Now, CJ McCollum in his podcast said Zion had been doing a lot of post-practice or pre-practice stuff or conditioning to help him. Like, are you doing some sort of conditioning, you know, when you're not going to play? Because that's necessary as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. Chaz, do you, I guess, so I want to, someone in the comments said this, I said this a couple of podcasts ago, and it's when Stan Van Gundy talked to Coach K, and Coach K says the best way to keep Zion in shape is for him to keep playing.
Look, man.
They don't play back-to-back in college either, though.
Yeah, it's like.
Yeah, they do. What do you mean? Yeah, they do. Tournament season, baby.
Back,
they play back-to-backs. March Madness is not back-to-back. But tournament season is.
They might practice more in college.
They do play back-to-backs, though.
Maui tournament? I don't think.
Yeah, that for sure. I don't know how much in the
small
season.
Amount of back-to-back, sure, but I see your point, Five. Small amount of back-to-backs, but I see your point.
I think. Look, man, certain shit I just wish was never said. Like, certain, the Pelicans have a real bad habit of saying things publicly that probably shouldn't be said, like kind of letting the proverbial cat out the bag. With that, I think that's just a dream at this point. Yes, he should be playing. But the thing is with Zion, it ain't about getting in shape into the season. That's preserved for the Shaqs of the world and of their day. You need to be coming into the season in shape already. You need to be playing basketball in the offseason. So while Stan Van Gundy said was true, it's just like I hate mid-range shots, right? Just because you make the motherfucker don't mean it was a good decision to me. It just happened to work out. So if Zion continues to play and gets in great shape, cool. But it's not a good practice. You're just enabling a bad situation. As far as with him playing tomorrow, do I think he should play tomorrow? Yeah, I do, just because – at some point, you got to start changing the process with this team. You got to stop enabling such poor practices. Like, you have to. Zion is the guy who, look, resting on back-to-backs, it's for dudes like Zion. It's like, okay, cool. It's for the Joel Embiid types. Like, you know what I'm saying? Right. Fine. And at this stage in his career, Zion's played more games than Joel Embiid did his first few years. So, whatever, right? But at the same time, if you're the Pelicans, you don't necessarily have the grace to keep repeating like weird things. So it's like at some point you have to demand more of Zion. Even if he played 15 minutes, run him out there. Let him like play, give him 3 minutes a quarter. Like three, four minutes a quarter. Let him play a little bit. And that way you can say, hey, he played 69 games this season. Like, you know what I'm saying? Even if motherfucker just started and didn't finish it, just have him do it for appearances.
So Chaz, you said this a couple podcasts ago, but you know, Chris Robert here brings up a good point, and just what Chaz said, why not like a minutes restriction then? Why not 25, 26 minutes instead of his 34 tonight?
I think is my opinion getting confused? Like, I believe that he should play. I would play him if I was the coach, but I don't and have accepted that he won't play. Like, is that clear here?
Oh yeah, like, yeah. I understand your opinion.
Okay, I want to make sure. Sure, why not? Why not a minutes restriction? I don't believe it's gonna happen. I mean, so why even make my?
Why even talk why about even, it?
Yeah, I mean, why even make myself like believe it would be unprecedented for them unless someone's coming back from an injury.
Wouldn't that be a good idea? So you don't think that'd be a good idea?
It's not about the idea. It won't happen. So why am I talking about an idea that hasn't happened?
Okay. So this is a good point. Zion got hurt last year in the sixth game after playing back-to-back December 30th and 31st. Needs rest. He's out of shape. Do you think that's
an oxymoron, but.
Yeah, like, he needs rest, he's out of shape.
All right.
No. Okay. No, that goes against each other.
Well, that sounds like it should go the other way.
You're fat. Sit down. Don't play. that's crazy.
Yeah, like you out of shape. That sounds like a you problem. Problem. That sounds like a you problem. Partner. Like you gotta. That's who you blame for that. That's on you. But get like, in shape.
Yeah, right. But look, to Chad's point, for real though, like if you came into the season in shape, we wouldn't even be having this discussion. So yeah, this is like reverse back to like his habits and his disciplines that you know maybe he don't have a lot.
What?
I mean,
That's crazy. I would love to talk to the schedule planning. A committee in like in the Pelicans, the ones who put all of this together in reference to games that decided in regards to sitting and so on and so forth, and how they want to start the first quarter of the season, the second quarter of the season. I mean, we're not here to see how they handle, you know, post All-Star break or whatever the case may be. But I mean, you know, I'm really curious. Like, you know, are they taking a different approach in looking at the season truthfully as a marathon? Of course, they definitely. They're treating this in-season tournament like it really matters. So cool, great. But that's what I'm really curious about, because, man, I mean, there was a period. You know, we could be honest. Did y'all see them at 9-7 today? I didn't think they would win tonight.
You didn't think they win tonight?
No,
I did.
I thought they did. I expected them to win tonight.
No, they played really well versus. I didn't think they would lose in embarrassing fashion. But I thought tonight they would lose.
I didn't think they would be Sacramento the last time. I thought they'd win tonight.
Okay. Yeah, I mean that's.
But 9-7. I don't know. I mean, I don't necessarily know.
9-7. Their easiest stretch is coming up, right? December's pretty light, huh?
It depends.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Man, before CJ went down, I thought it was possible with this. For these 10 games, I only wanted them to win three. if you won more than three, I was proud of you. And then they're on like five now, so I'm extremely proud. Yeah. So shit, I just wanted them to win three.
They've been good. Do like 5-10 more minutes. If you have any more comments, Five, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say this is gonna tell me if they're a good team or not, right?
Tomorrow?
No. Like this next stretch or December, right? Mm. There's a enough easy teams, right? Because in the past, like that lets me know like you're gonna win. If they go, let's say like a 10 game stretch, if they go like 8-10, 8-2 versus like a weaker team, that lets me know like you're beating the teams that you're supposed to beat. That's what really good teams do, right? You've beaten teams that you could have been easily said you're not supposed to beat those teams. It could have easily been said that nobody probably would have been mad that you lost to the Nuggets or lost one to the Kings or lost to the Clippers tonight. Nobody was like, all right, cool. They got a better coach or this and the third. They could have said a number of things, but you won. Cool. That lets me know that you could be one of the good teams. Now you have to prove it versus the teams that you're supposed to beat. You look at the team like the Magic, right? They beat the Celtics tonight, and they have a 11-5 record, I believe, now.
Yeah, they balling.
But you kind of could see that last year when they came into the Smoothie King Center and – you know, drop bombs on us. So, like, is this team going to take the necessary step, right? The next step is, all right, beat the teams you're supposed to beat on a consistent basis, not just a random, no, consistently beat the lower 500 teams in the NBA.
Justin.
Yeah.
You asked me about the most important thing that happened tonight.
What are you talking about?
Huh?
I was just resting my voice.
I just want to know why you're talking like that.
Who, me?
No, him.
Well, I'm sorry.
All right, rub your hands together. What's happening here, brother?
What's the most important thing?
I'm worried about my hands, dog. Yeah. Listen, man. At one point, the Clippers like took Zubac out the game, and they didn't have a center for about 7 minutes. Nobody ever thought to pass Jonas the ball. Like it never happened.
It's unbelievable. It's crazy. Did y'all see Jonas pissed at Dyson?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Y'all saw that?
Yeah.
Pissed. Throwing his hands up everything. They're like, Jonas, I can't imagine the things in his head he says about this team.
right? in his native language.
I cannot imagine, bro.
Boy,
I cannot imagine. Oh, yeah, it's his shot tonight. Man.
Did y'all see this?
Nazi got up 6 shots in the first half.
He did. Did y'all see this? I didn't see this.
Yeah, I did see that.
I see.
I don't know. I think well, he didn't wipe his tears. I think so more progress. But I think, man, again, you see whatever they talked about, there's some trust there. Like, and I think it had to be communicated. Like, look, bro, don't worry, you're gonna get your looks. We're gonna make sure you know you do, you know, you're taken care of on the offensive end. And guys, whoever gave their word, they followed through. There was a stretch of time where JRE was about to check in, and then there was a timeout. He was about to take, I think he was about to check in for Zion, and there was a timeout, and they left Zion in the game. And Zion played a long stretch of minutes in the fourth, surprisingly. In my mind, I was like, okay, they must know Zion resting tomorrow, and B.I. is playing. So when B.I. came in.
Did he play the last 8 minutes, Zion?
No. He went out. And then Brandon came back in, and they started losing leads, so Zion came back in.
But he still did he play, y'all? Chess?
Let me see. I think he
played 34.
Say again?
What was the question?
How many minutes did Zion play?
He played 34.
34?
Brandon he got 35.
His minutes seemed really compacted, like in that fourth especially. Ingram, B.I. played 35. I think Dyson played 36.
Is this the most amount of minutes that Zion's played this year?
I believe so, if I'm not mistaken. I think I've seen 33 a couple times.
Yeah, but 32.
Yeah. And, man, them dudes went a long time with one rebound. But still, they had one rebound.
Nah, he got 35 last. He actually got 35 minutes Wednesday against Sacramento.
Okay.
The first game?
The second game.
Really? Oh, I guess it was. Oh, yeah. Yep. I guess it went down to the wire.
Zion's on a stretch right now. 26, 26, 25, and 32 in his last
four. Good. Games. That's good. But I'm saying
20 minutes tonight.
Yeah. You can see the trust. The trust is there with the coaching staff, though. And, yeah, man, it's got to – I think if you get a high IQ floor general or, like, really – turn over the reins to Herb and like just really lock him in the film room with a Rondo or somebody like that. And just, I really think you would work wonders for this duo. And you could see, you know.
Let me ask you something. You think, because I look at this team similarly, like not in regards to success, but I'm talking about is like how they're built to, like, I look at them as like Boston like, or. Mm-hmm. Even how I think Miami should play. Like, I think when they're healthy, Kyle Lowry won't be starting. But you look at Boston, right? They have Drew and they have Derrick White. They don't have a prototypical point guard because they have Jason Tatum and they have Jaylen Brown. Neither of those guys are going to necessarily – they are in floor generals or whatever, but they are the people that are controlling the basketball, controlling most of the play. So, therefore, they're taking the Jordan route to where we're going to bring in Ron Harper, we're going to have – you know, Steve Kerr, John Paxson, whatever. Or spot up shooter. That's what we're going to have. We don't need a point guard.
I think Tatum is like a scary, strong dude, and he has a really impressive handle. And I think that to me is what really separates a lot of the Pelicans two guys. And also, I think those two are capable of more explosive scoring bursts. Them both being true three-level scorers, I think that gives them a bit more of an advantage with their first step to where defense is collapsing, they're able to make the correct pass. And, I mean, it helps when you got Bazingas out there. But I just think them winning so much just led to them having, like, higher IQs on top of Jason Tatum being such a good facilitator and Jaylen Brown being such an explosive scorer.
Okay.
Well, man, we went for an hour, over 330 people here, like in the room. 1 a.m. in New Orleans, 2 a.m.
Wow. Come on, brother.
That's a technical foul.
I can't let you finish this conversation. It's going.
Could you just hit the like button? I'm gonna go with the DraftKings Sports. In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Win or lose, you get an instant dub. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code BOOT. New customers can get 150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on basketball. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code BOOT. The crown is yours. Pelicans in Utah tomorrow. Y'all have a great weekend. Lito.
Yeah, what's up, Lito? No, I ain't even got it. Man.